Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh, What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Las Vegas. You are listening to the Crazy Sexy Cool podcast. I am your host, Bethany, and I am joined by my two friends, my co-hosts, my mommy friends. We have Meek and Elizabeth. What's up, y'all?
What's happening?
Here at Crazy Sexy Cool, we give our black-ass millennial opinions about the crazy, the sexy, and the cool hot topics. So let's jump into it. Well, before we jump into it, I just want to say thank you to everyone that tuned in to us on the live show with Count the Ding. So we got a chance to meet everybody that's a part of the whole podcast network. So from Naima to Karen with Wednesday Service to Woke Bros to Growing Up the Same with Trey and Jason. And of course, the OGs from Bomb, Amin, Jer, we had everybody on there. So it was really nice just to get a chance to meet everybody. And even, you know, meeting Tom, who was like our special guest on the Crazy Sexy Cool segment. And we played a cool game, you know, one of our favorites here, Fuck, Marry, or Kill, which was crazy because he did not know who Teyana Taylor, he doesn't know who she is. Even after saying that that's Iman Shumpert's wife, he was still kind of like, okay. But so we played Fuck, Marry, Kill with him and with Trey. And also, which got a lot of comments from the patrons who were tuned in, was when I asked Meek her Fuck, Marry, Kill, because we did a special problematic R&B edition. And what did you say, Meek? You said you would fuck, marry, or kill R. Kelly. Which one?
I was going to fuck R. Kelly. And then I was going to kill the gremlin. And then I'll marry Chris Brown. And it's honestly, let's be honest, like, it's all, you know, jokes and laughs. But some people was getting righteous. They was like, oh, my God, you know, you're going to pick sex trafficking over an assault. Let's be honest, they're both fucking bad as fuck. I was going off of, like, their music and, like, do I think that they would be a good screw or not? And let's be honest, R. Kelly, he has the fucking hits. Seems like you're ready. Your body's calling. He sounds like he knows his way around a body. So, like, and they all, you know what I'm saying?
It like, only makes sense.
And they're all abusive to women and shit. Like, you know, like, so... We're going to be problematic. Let's just be problematic.
Go all the way there. But we had so much fun. Like, I'm so ready for us to do a live show, to be in front of an audience, a crowd. Being that we're in a pandemic, like, I miss being on stage, period. So being on stage and being able to, you know, give our podcast live would be so much fun. So, yeah, that was really fun. And also, that was the last time that I had an alcoholic beverage, so I am currently dry for a few days now, and I'm going to try to, you know, continue to stay dry for like 30 more days. I'm just trying
dry
to like do 30 days, Bethany.
Dry November.
I think I can. Like, no, I'm starting now. Like,
well, no, right, but like I'm just saying, like
November 20th, so November 25th.
Oh, yeah. So have a drink for Liz's birthday.
Also, November 23rd, because it'll be the 24th, my birthday.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try my best to, you know, not take any sips. Right now, I'm drinking sparkling water. Really? I haven't had Red Bull. Like, I feel soda? Good. I used to. I love Fanta. I like orange soda.
You really like drink soda.
All right, Kill. I do. Yes.
You drink like real soda, like, cause like, you know, sometimes I get like a, you know, like I get, you know, thirsty for like a Sprite, but like a soda, like grape soda and stuff, like I would never drink that.
You act like I'm drinking a Pepsi or a Coke. No, I like hot.
But
y'all know I love sugar.
Yeah, so. She loves sugar. She's going to be that friend and always got candy in her purse.
But, you know, I've kind of cut back on that.
Wow.
I am changing gross. My life.
This is gross. Yes. This is real gross.
With the sparkling water, try ice. I just bought some, and that shit is, like, dangerously good. So, try it.
Right now, I'm drinking bubbly.
Bubbly.
And this is the lime one. I mean, it's all natural flavors, no calories, no sweeteners. So, you know, I mean, it gets the job done. Okay. It's like, I feel like I'm drinking a diet soda. Yeah. But the fact that I'm even drinking this and enjoying it, I'm like, who am I? Because, like, when I order, like...
Bethany Elizabeth?
When I eat junk food, like pizza and wings, I like to wash it down with soda. Like, I'm really, like, when I go all out, like, I go there. But I've really changed, like, the whole tone. But, anyway, let's jump into these hot topics. So, I am really excited. The Southern girl in me is celebrating because we have, finally, a T.I., versus Jeezy battle that's about to happen. It's almost like a month away, but whatever. I'm excited because this has taken me back to like 2005, which was a great year for me. That's the year I graduated high school. I have so many memories tied to both of these artists, especially T.I. And Meek, I know you can attest to that because you've seen me. Like, we went to see T.I. perform.
Bruh, you're a T.I. fan, like
I had to
get the right word. I had to go make sure I'm right word. Yeah, no, like she's like a for real T.I. Like she'll come through with her hat tilted and you know talk about about that. Like she's definitely a T.I. fan. Yeah,
T.I.P. I am
turns into like, a whole other person. She's like. She's like how you are with Nipsey. Like, that's how she is with T.I.
Okay, Bethany. I'm learning something new. I ain't seen you a T.I. tip. Well, it's been mostly because, like, he is problematic. Like, the whole situation with him and his daughter and the whole, like, checking her hymen and, like, the doctor issue, that just really blew me. But even, like, I used to watch, you know, the Family Hustle show that came on VH1. Mm-hmm. And like,
I watched a little bit of that.
I've said this before, like to other friends, because they have asked me like, you know, would you ever do reality TV? No, because I feel like it really changes. It really shows people who they are. And I would rather just be a fantasy. I don't want to know that you're a dumbass. I don't want to know that you have these misogynistic views. I don't want to know these things because I think about like I used to love Kenya from Real Housewives of Atlanta until she got on the show and I was like, yo, this girl,
she's a nasty person.
She is nasty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I like it really hurt to see T.I. that way, but I'm like, yeah, really is.
I had to break the bad news to you. Well, I know it wasn't just me because I'm pretty sure you had this conversation with other friends because at one point in time Bethany was going so hard on R. Kelly is canceled. R. Kelly, blah, 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 blah. And you do remember we had this conversation in the dressing room and I was like, okay, that's cool. And I'm not trying, in no way am I trying to say like what T.I. done or compare the two and say that it's just as equal. But it's like, if we're going to cancel people due to their actions outside of their art, T.I. needs to be canceled. Like, he's misogynistic. He at one point in time, he looked at women as second to men. And, you know, and Bethany was like, well, no, no. And then the hymen story came out and she was like, dog.
Well, yeah. Because, I mean, it's just when you compare him to R. Kelly, I'm just like, R. Kelly is a sick man. That's
no,
a
it's sick but I'm
that
just,
you can't, that a but, conversation and therapy is not really going to help anything with him. With T.I., even though, you know, he's doing like the Red Table Talk and he's going on different shows and people are like trying to educate him and he's actually sitting down and listening, not saying that anything has really changed. He is misogynistic, but it has really changed like how
no,
I view
it has.
Him
and that's the reason
how I listen to his music.
That's the reason why I said at one point in time, because I can admit, because like, you know me, I was not for T.I. Like, I wasn't for like how he would talk to women. But I can say that because he's on a public platform, he gets checked. And he gets checked by you know, well-equipped and well-experienced women. you know, on like, well, no, you're absolutely wrong on that. So, and you can see that this man has actually like put into consideration, like, okay, maybe my thoughts on this were, and I could see it differently. Like the fact that that Libra album has a lot of like female artists, you know, and he's like speaking on that. So I don't know. It could be strategic, but I'm not afraid to give the man his credit. Like if you're trying to do better.
I haven't listened to it yet. And that's crazy because when I tell you, I have always anticipated his album drops because Urban Legend came out like 2 days before my birthday. It felt like it was for my 18th birthday. I got to listen to Urban Legend. I was so hyped. Was it Urban? Yeah, it was Urban Legend. So like I've really been a fan of his since 2001 with his first album, I'm Serious. Like my brother, he's like 4 or 5 years older than I am. So when this came out, he was in college, and this is back in the day when everyone used to burn CDs, and used to sell like CDs for like $5. So my brother would come home,
liquor store,
and I would take all of his CDs that he's like selling on campus and burn them onto my big ass desktop computer. And I remember downloading that, and I just could not stop listening to it. Like I thought this dude was so dope, and I just love how country he is. And then when Jeezy came out, I saw like a shift in like the culture in a way. Like I went to a predominantly black high school. So dudes was coming to school in like the long tees with the snowman on it. I'm not sure like how it was out west when like how they used to dress. But like the long tees with the Jeezy the snowman shirts, which guys used to get suspended from school for wearing those.
Yeah. Like you couldn't wear them that long.
Yeah. Because, oh my God, it's insinuating, selling drugs and cocaine and blah, blah, blah. So guys used to literally spend it for, repping their favorite rapper, who was Jeezy at the time. So I'm like so excited for this Versus because when Rick Ross had his against 2 Chainz, people was like, nah, Rick Ross should go against T.I. And I'm like, no, I think T.I. and Jeezy, because they both are like 2 Southern trap music rappers, that it would be perfect with Rick Ross and 2 Chainz. They both have like this black Lux type rap.
So who are you going for?
T.I.
Come on, I'm going with T.I. Yeah. and honestly, I'm going to be real. I don't know much about Jeezy's music like that. Like whatever was on the radio, yep, I know about that. I know about some of his album cuts. But as far as like knowing T.I.'s music, I know that. So yeah. I'm going with Tip.
T.I.P. I'm actually going for Tip too because I feel like he's more well-rounded far as like he has like more songs with like different people, different features. Also, Jeezy, like he also had like a time period where he was like hot. Like I'm not discrediting him at all, but I just feel like T.I. got more songs, more hits than Jeezy. Jeezy got a lot of trap music that I don't know about. I don't know about it at all.
I feel like both artists are like cult classics. Like they have like a cult following, and I just say that because of like shit. We've served when Jeezy has come, and people, some people that's not familiar with Jeezy, they're like, y'all got young Jeezy. Is like, yeah, like people turn
brings out a crowd
and turn the fuck out for Jeezy, and then he definitely has a cult following. I just think that T.I. has way more mainstream following than Jeezy does. But to me, I just feel like this is more of like the cult following battle because they both have like if you are a T.I. fan, you are a T.I. fan. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you're a Jeezy fan, like, so I don't know who got it.
I just remember when we had Jeezy come to our job, it was the first time that I ever got a client and they got a table and they spent $22,000. They were so hyped just because Jeezy was there that they would pay whatever just to have a good time and throw money while he was performing. Like it was the craziest thing. I know Tip, he had his residency over at Dre's and he would bring a crowd out and he gives a good performance. So I'm hoping, like, I'm going to be real. When it comes to performing, T.I. hands down.
But Versus is kind of like a performance in a way. Like, if you can put on a good show, more than likely you're going to get the nod, because we clearly saw that with Nelly and Ludacris.
That was very odd.
Nelly does not really know what he's doing, and Ludacris having so much experience in like radio and broadcasting, he hosts award shows.
He was
shows
so relaxed.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I do this. This is normal. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and Nelly was just like, let me play this song with, you know, with Biggie that I did. Like, bro, calm down.
He was lit.
You're way too excited. So I'm hoping, like, T.I. don't come out here and shit the bed because he's, like, too turned up and, like, his Wi-Fi is, well, I guess it's not going to be how it was, like, traditionally with Versus. So we don't have to worry about the whole Wi-Fi situation. I'm sure they'll be in the same room. But I'm really excited. So people are trying to figure out why he's battling Jeezy instead of Busta Rhymes, because Busta Rhymes basically called out T.I. like, you running from this battle. Let's have fun. Let's do it.
That don't make no sense, though.
It makes no sense. And I'm, because Busta Rhymes was on Fat Joe's show, and I'm just like, he's talking about battling T.I. And I'm like,
but that sounds personal, and it sounds like we're not privy to, right, like, what the personal, you know. Issue so with is. That said, Busta, you're going to have to chill and do that shit on your own time, because that shit doesn't make any sense. Y'all not even in the same era. Y'all don't rap the same. Like, it doesn't make sense. Now, unless you want to go and spill some tea as to why you want to come at old dude. But other than that, that show doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah. So, if anybody, I would love to see Busta Rhymes go up against Missy.
That's interesting.
and even still, I think Missy wins. Not saying Busta is one of the greatest rappers. He's really like an elite rapper.
I don't think that's fair.
Long time.
But think that's fair to do that.
I think about their music, their style, their production, like,
they both go, they're both out of the box, but I just don't think that's fair, because like, she comes in with the singing, she raps, you can like pull in your features, like, he, like, is she gonna be able to go places that he can't even touch? And that's not fair. So even though that they're both like eccentric in their approach to their music, because I feel you on that, like, if we were doing a battle on like videos, definitely that would be fucking fire. But like,
oh, like in, music, like, videos, yeah,
as in like catalog, I don't know, I just don't think it'll be fair. Like, she got so much shit with so
she
many
got so much
people.
Fire, yeah.
It just would not be fair at all.
Missy's the GOAT.
I just want to see Missy kill somebody like in a versus battle, because it's no one really is seeing her. But Busta, of course, because they're both so eclectic, I would see those two. But we're getting T.I. and Jeezy, and I'm super, super excited. I'm probably going to wear, like, a jersey with my hat tilted to...
Are you all tilted?
To you, like, degree. Please share some of this energy for this damn battle. Like,
go live. Go live.
Are you really... Y'all don't care?
Go live.
Maybe yeah, go live.
I'm just from the South.
You are huge.
Maybe it's just
No, but it's not even because you're from the South, because a lot of folks out here in Vegas was like, they fuck with Jeezy, like, for sure, like, fuck with Jeezy hard. I just, like, they both dope, but I don't, like, as in, they gonna, I know for a fact, it's gonna be a part in that battle where they gonna venture off into some shit where I'd be like, what the fuck is this? Tune the fuck out, turn the fuck off, like, what's this? I don't notice though. Yeah,
That's unfortunate. I'm ready. Like, I'm already like, I got my T.I. playlist. I was listening to some songs. I'm like, I wonder if he'll play this.
I wonder if he'll play that. Going head to head.
I want to see some more verses, like, in like from the producer standpoint, like, or even from a musician standpoint, like, you know, like,
I was playing. Just about to say, you want to hear goddamn Quincy Jones versus.
You're damn right. What's that white guy? Wait, time out. That white guy, he
Rick
wrote
Rubin?
For. Nah, it's not Rick Rubin. I got to look him up. But anywho, he wrote on Off the Wall. He was a part of that one R&B group. Never mind. I got to figure it out. But this dude, his writing skills is like crazy. that's the stuff I want to see. Like, I want to see that. Like, yeah, because people get up there. Like, that's another thing that I started to realize when I work in nightlife. And you can actually see it in verses. And I think that's the reason why I'm not always so into verses. It's because even though people are talented, they do not have stage presence. And you could see it. Like, and normally some people, you know, it can be disguised if you have a huge production behind you and you got the crowd yelling. But when you don't have that and you still have to be able to project your personality and stuff through the camera, everybody don't have that. So when I see people just sitting there and, you know, like, can't control their body language and shit, I'm off. Like, I'm like, you don't even want to be here. So why the fuck am I sitting here listening to you, you know, reminisce about some shit you made 10 years ago?
Yeah. So wait. So who gave you bad body language in particular?
Monica, the girls. Who else was it?
I've heard some reasons as to why Monica was kind of giving some bad body language. Apparently, as far as like singing along or singing some of the songs that were performed, she doesn't have, I guess, permission anymore, or, you know, a copyright issue. I don't know. I don't know the whole tea behind that, because I didn't watch it because I can't stomach such thick tension. You know what I mean? Like, it's just too awkward
and then,
for me.
And then Brandy, I get it, and I'm not even trying to charge her, but because she's so industry, she tries to do that like little fake,
too much.
Oh, everything's fine, and it's like, it's just very obvious that it's not. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, it was hard to like stomach that a bit. Or even, you know, Nelly is one of them.
Nelly was just lit.
I didn't even really like tune in all the way. Like, I missed the Jagged Edge one. I wanted to see that one.
I did too.
I didn't even want to.
Yeah. I
listened back to like the playlist of what songs they played and what order. And there was a lot of stuff I was like, never heard it. Because my thing is, I think people need to have 20 songs, like strong songs. Not like we have 20 songs that were like singles at one point. No. 20 hits to the point where you like,
you think Jeezy got so 20 hits?
No, I don't. And I'm sorry to all the Jeezy fans.
Sorry too, like,
what about this song? But no, I cannot.
And that's
name
what I say. It's a cult
song.
Following. Like, you know, it's right. I don't think so. You know, shit. And I like it. I know that song.
Like, you know, like,
I know.
When he was coming to Vegas, when he came to Vegas to perform, he would do like what, 4 songs, and that's it.
And I would be honest with you. The reason why I love watching Jeezy perform is because the people rock with him so hard. You could feel their energy, like, you know, throughout that whole venue. So like, it just made you excited. You like, bitch, I don't know none of these words, but I'm rocking with you because these motherfuckers rocking with you. You know, so yeah, it's cool to see someone have that type of like impact on people, like through their art. Yeah, like
Would you compare that to how, like, when you went to see Travis Scott, when we went to see him at Marquee that one night?
No, that's a
and
whole
you could see everybody.
That's a whole different. Travis Scott has now like projected himself. Like, I love that he used like Astro, because he is definitely like out of this world. Like, if I was to see someone battle, and I know people might have something to say against it, I really don't give a fuck. Travis Scott, Kanye West, let's go. Like, I want to see that. Like, ooh. I really want to see that. Because it's like,
I remember saying,
old, like, you know, and then low key.
A couple years
that's
ago,
actually a good one, me.
A couple years ago, I was saying, like, I feel like where Travis Scott is now is where Kanye should be. Like, he could have been doing all this dope music, but he's just so like gone. He's not.
See,
he,
no,
he's
but,
out of
but
this
see,
world
but,
because he, him, and Travis collaborated so much, and Travis just took a sound and ran with it, while Kanye just got stuck.
I love that you're so nice to say collaborated, because that, you know, that's I feel like that's a bit subjective, because like they're both geniuses, but they're two different types of geniuses. Like, Travis Scott, he's the source of the creativity. Like, it comes out of him. Kanye West, he finds the creativity. He has the ability, the genius, like a Steve Jobs, to be like, look, I don't know how to do this, but I can hear it and I can pinpoint it out. And he'll go and like find like those, because a lot of those people that work under him are like fire, from fashion to fucking music. And like, they work under him collectively. And if you notice, when those people were with him, his shit was at a certain level. When he no longer deals with those people, his shit drops.
So but Travis also has a team that are doing the same thing, that he collaborates, and a lot of people are writing creating for him as well.
No, that's true. But the thing is, though, through all of Travis' projects, it's still him. Like, Kanye go through these different, it'll be like a completely different sound. Like, his first couple of albums sound just like Consequence. You know what I mean? Then there's some albums that sound just like Travis Scott. You know, like, you could tell who he the fuck was. Like, they leave their signature on his work. Travis Scott, yeah, he has that, but it's still Travis Scott, which means that some of his creativity is still, you know, like, is being projected, you know, further than whoever he's working with. That's, yeah. But,
I don't want to see them in the verses.
First off, you already know, because it's going to be
They just come from two completely different eras. Like, I feel like without Kanye, we wouldn't have an artist like Travis Scott. You know what I mean? True. Exactly. So I that's like, you know,
that's like Jordan against Kobe. But I still think it would be like dope to kind of compare. Like, I mean, we could still compare. We could still put Jordan and Kobe on 1-on-1. Like, they played each other before. Like, you know, and whoever gets it. Now it doesn't outshine that, you know, that Kanye is still a creative genius, even though he's gone crazy. Like, doesn't take away from that. It's just for just for entertainment.
Yeah, I'm cool on that. All right, so on to this crazy Twitter thread that surfaced once this girl posted a screenshot of a conversation that she was having with a guy where he was asking her for money, and she was just so like mind blown that a guy will have the audacity just to even, for one, just ask her for money, but two, the way that he did it was kind of like, it was just like, dude, where's your dick?
It was fuck nigga shit.
Yeah, it was super.
It was straight. It was fuck nigga shit.
It was embarrassing. And it made me think about, it made me think about the time where Meek, you stopped talking to a guy.
Because, I sure did.
Yeah, because he asked you. Sure did. Can you tell our listeners about the situation or how it made you feel?
I feel like this is the thing, is that like, it's real easy to, for people to be like, well, you know, girls look at dudes, you know, for back, blah, 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 blah. This has nothing to do with gender roles, because to be honest, I think whether a woman or a man goes into a situation trying to finesse, find, you know, some money out of, like, I look at both, you know, like, bitch, go get your own shit. You know what I'm saying? Anywho, like I said, it's all about like the energy. So like, I'm not in business and like partaking in these games where it's like, you like people ask for shit to see what they can get. You know what I'm saying? To say, oh yeah, you know, like, yeah, I got her, you know, I'm about to get all her money. Like, she out here, she cooking for me, she doing this for me, she doing, like, you know what I mean? To make them look a certain type of way. I'm not, I don't like shit like
they
that.
On some pimp shit.
On some pimp shit, right. Or to brag to their friend that they got this baddie that's willing to do whatever. Like, to me, that's weak as fuck. Like, it's completely weak as fuck. Like, if you was to take all that time and all that, like, strategic ass thinking and apply that shit to yourself, you'll be fucking surprised as to how far you can go. So, this dude, we were, like, me and this dude was chilling or whatever, and it was cool, but, like, I just started noticing a common theme within our conversations was like, what I can do for him, you know? And it's like, that's a turnoff. That's a complete turnoff for me. Like, if you constantly like, yeah, but like, are you going to cook, or are you know, like, are you going to like, nigga, no, like, now the answer is automatically no. And then, so, like, I was, like, getting ready for work. And, like, motherfucker had the nerve to ask me to, like, drop him off some cough syrup on my way to work. And it's like, bruh, first off, I live 15 minutes and I'm on my way to work. You are fucking at home. Like, you're at home. You're not that fucking bedridden where you couldn't hop in your fucking car, go down the street, and go get your ass some cough syrup. And let's be honest, cough syrup really don't fucking work. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Or take your ass to the fucking, you know what I mean, urgent care. Like, I just think that, like, it's very inconsiderate. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't know.
He disrespected your time. Like, he's exactly. trying to make you go out. He's trying exactly. to see if you go out of the way.
And if I was going to go out my way for him, and the way I look at it is the fact that I am a single mother out here and I'm the primary financial provider for my whole household. Like, the fact that I'm even paying you time should let you know I'm going out of my way. So,
Elizabeth, have you ever had a guy ask you for money?
No.
Or ask you to pay for something or anything like that?
No. Have you?
No. Why do you think no one's ever asked you that?
Because I don't know. Honestly, I think I just come off a certain way. Like, nigga, ask me for something.
I just don't understand, like, how someone would have the audacity to ask. But, yeah, like, yeah. What is it about a woman that would make a guy even ask? Like, I would love for a guy to write in and say, well, yeah, I asked a girl for money before and this is why. Please, if you have a story, I would love to hear it because I just don't understand.
Me either.
I feel like it's never happened to me. And I feel like, I don't know if it's because of maybe they know who I've dated before, because a lot of guys that I've dated are paid and they have good jobs and they are never in a position where they need to ask me for anything. I don't know if I exude this like high maintenance persona. I honestly don't know what it is, but no one has ever no man in my family has ever asked me for money. And no guy that I've been romantically involved with or even been on like just a dating level, because some of these tweets that these women were sharing were like, I just met him like 5 days ago and he's already asking me like to buy him a pizza or to order him food or to help him buy some weed and he'll pay me back. It's like, I'm raising a son, so he's already at six, like, we'll go shop and he's like, let me carry that because I don't want you to have to do XYZ. Like, he goes out of his way to make sure I don't have to lift a finger. My son is already opening doors for me. So I just don't understand like how a man even gets to the point where he is comfortable.
I don't think it's what is it about the female? I think it's a certain caliber of men. That's what I think it is.
Yeah. And cause I feel like it's, maybe like, I think that definitely
like if you are dating a certain caliber of men that's like always quote unquote paid, then no, they're not going to look at you as a source of like for finance. They're going to look
I take that back. I was with someone who makes a lot of money and we were in bed one time. We were watching like infomercials. And this infomercial comes on for like this DVD set of like old performances or whatever. And he was like, babe, can you order that for me? And I was like, sure. And I ordered it for him because I know he wasn't asking out of like, well, I ain't got it. But it's like he did for me financially. The least I could do was buy a DVD set for him that he wanted. It's whatever. So it's just like,
I think that's different.
It's a little different.
Once again, it still takes a certain caliber of man because not all women are, you know, deal with those type of men that's making that type of money. You know what I'm saying? Like some of these niggas are on the come up. Some of these niggas is doing exactly what the fuck we doing. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, yeah. So,
yeah.
I do think it's a certain caliber of man, like, for sure, where, like, you have these dudes out here that just want to try to live off a female, and they just weak as fuck, you know?
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, a lot of those men live on the West Side. Like when I go out to the South or the East Coast, I don't fucking deal with that. Like I've like none of the guys I've befriended or like fucked with, whatever, ever approached me like that. All the men, like the men that have approached me, were from fucking Vegas or California. Like all of them. So yeah, I'm not saying all California men are like that, because you have different levels in Cali, but like I think it's just a certain like lifestyle or something that's like that is like accepting.
I feel like a lot of these guys have
on the East Coast.
I feel like a lot of these guys have uncles to be like, you know, how much money she making? Like they really have been on this Mac pimp shit for, it's like almost generationally, you know? So when they see her, oh, she got a good job. She drive a nice car. So what are you getting from her? You know? Cause it's almost like, who cares if she's cooking and cleaning? How much money is she, like, is she
got a nice house? But the sad part from that is, I know, I forgot, I don't know if it was you I had this conversation with, where it's like, you have men that have recognized that, like men from the East and the South that have recognized that women from the West are not accustomed to, like, you know, to chivalry. They're like, we're not accustomed to it. Like, a nigga come open my door, I'm like, the fuck? Like,
who are you?
Who sent you, nigga? Like, where you from?
Yeah.
Who is this? Like, you get you know, and like, and they've said that it's a lot easier to, I guess you can say, like, finesse women, because it's like all you're doing is just doing what you normally would do, but that little bit is just so like amazing to her, because that's not
by the nice guy approach.
Exactly.
Well, no, I literally
used to it. Whereas women that come from that side, they expect it. Like they will stand still at a door before, I'm not touching anything. Yeah. So
wait. Yeah. So I literally met a guy about this time last year, and he was telling me, because he's from New York, and he was telling me, like, look, I love going out to LA and dating girls out there because I can do the bare minimum, and then it presses them so much.
That's where I got it from. Mm-hmm. I got it from you.
Yes.
That's where I like, got it from.
He literally said this, and I was just looking at this nigga like, well, he wasn't wrong, because he's like, you know, I pick up a tab, I buy them drinks, I open their door. And that's all I honestly have to do.
The pussy comes just flowing.
Exactly.
The pussy. Love the pussy.
So, yeah. And I really started to look at, like, what the dating scene must look like in a city like L.A., where there's so many women that outnumber the men, of course. But then the small percentage of men that actually act right, they're probably already taken. And they honestly have their pick. They have their pick of women. So it's just so.
But also we could we say that it's also a bit more superficial on the West Coast. Like the qualities that someone should have on the West Coast are definitely different. I've experienced that are definitely different. Like I've had, like, I feel like on the East Coast, South, certain parts in the South, people are way more intrigued by your education than like by your Instagram followers. Not saying that that's not a thing there. But I'm just saying, like, I just feel like it's way more superficial. Like, oh, she a baddie. Like, she got way more than 50 followers. Oh, she light skin. Like, that whole light skin thing is a thing in California, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like that on the other side. So I think that's another thing why, like, the men on the West Coast, they had to come up with something, because, like, these girls were just fucking winning. You know what I mean? Like, they were fucking winning. Like, you would have, like, all these badass bitches, and then like they just winning. So it's like when you treat them like dirt, that's when they start are trying to, you know, see what you can get out of them. I don't know.
I think
it's a West Coast thing for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about all that, but please stay away from us. I don't want no parts. No,
yeah, that part shit is weak, man. That shit is weak as fuck. That whole pimp mentality is weak as fuck, bruh.
But that's like a lot in Vegas, though.
It's definitely heavy in Vegas. And this shit is weak as fuck. Like, y'all niggas, man, look, y'all about to make me go in on my curve. Bruh, because y'all need to step it the fuck up, bruh, out here in Vegas. Like, the strip have led y'all wrong. There's way more shit past the fucking strip, okay? And, like, y'all take y'all time trying to fucking look rich and don't all have you no look type of...
Fuck.
Right, bruh. If you got the fucking alphabets on, you know, O-V-G-G-C-C, and I can see all that shit, like, bruh, I'm good. I'm good. Money don't look like that. I don't give a fuck what anybody say. Money does not look like that. Like, to walking around look like an alphabet boy. Like, get the fuck out of here.
All right, y'all. We're going to move on to our red light special. If you guys have a question for the ladies of the Crazy Sexy Cool podcast, shoot us a DM at Crazy Sexy Cool Pod on Twitter or Instagram, or shoot us an email at crazysexycoolpod@gmail.com, and we just may answer your question on the show. So it's a really, I didn't even like, you know, run this question by y'all, but people want to know,
excuse me,
what the fuck? Elizabeth, girl, sorry,
excuse me, that's that kombucha.
We have some listeners who've been listening to, like, to our past episodes, and I guess they have heard that, they've heard me, you, Elizabeth, say that we are not looking to get married, and they want to know why. Like, what, why did we get to this point? Like, is this just completely something that you don't want?
Yes. I can. Okay, let me go from here. The beginning. I say that all the time. Like, we say that all the time, Bethany. Like, I don't want to get married. I don't want to get married. And right now, in a part of my life, I don't want to get married. I just feel like I like my space a lot. And I don't know. Another relationship is, like, a lot of energy for me that I can't give right now. And I don't see marriage in my future right now. Not to say, I mean, there's sometimes I sit here and I get in my soft moment and I talk to Meek and I'm like, I do want a relationship. I do. But then, like, I'll get over that phase and I really don't. After that, I'm done. I'm just like, back to normal. But I'm still sticking with my answer. I don't want to get married. Not that I don't want to be in a relationship, but yeah, I don't want to be married. I just feel like you don't have to put a title on something that's actually real. You know what I'm saying? You got to put all, you invest that money into something else and still be
in a relationship. As far as making it legal.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not happening. You guys will never get called to a wedding for me. it's just, okay. I just don't see that in my future. That's just my personal opinion. I mean, I don't know, man. My feelings all fucked up. So...
Yeah, like, I feel you, because I feel like it's not that I don't want to get married. I just can't, like, see how that would happen anytime soon in my life. So it's just, like, not a priority. Like, I mean, if I meet a man and our relationship gets to that point, cool. Like, I didn't see myself living in Las Vegas, but here the fuck I am. I've been here for 10 years. Like, I'm not going to say never. It's just something that I don't prioritize. It's not something that I'm looking for, because I know women who are like, I'm ready to get married. I'm ready to have children. I'm ready to buy a house. I'm ready to do this, this, and that. And, like, this is like, they have a list of things that they want to happen as soon as possible. Like, they're ready.
Yeah. And no, I got friends like that too.
And I'm just not, I just can't relate. And so when people are just like, so what, you don't want to get married? It's like, if I don't get married, I'm cool. I'm cool
right
with that.
I'm done. I'm fine. And I don't think it should be actually a problem. Like, whoa, why don't you want to get married? Like, I think it's totally normal for you to say that you're just not in a position to, you know, want to be married to somebody or dedicate your life to somebody. That's not fair to them, because you're not ready. You know what I'm saying? Don't just say, yeah, you want to get married because somebody proposed to you and you guys been in a relationship or whatever.
Right.
So,
I feel like a lot of people base women's worth, whether on if they're single, married, or whatever, like, oh, you're a single mom, like, well, don't you want to get married and have,
yeah, not, like, don't project that on me.
Yeah, that's maybe that's something that you want and that you see for yourself, but not everybody thinks that way, and it's okay.
Yeah, it's definitely,
but,
okay,
like, just like when women say, you know, I don't want kids.
Yeah,
that's,
I'm
okay,
one of those too.
For them to not want kids. No more kids. You know, I had a friend ask me, you know, if I want any more. And I think I was just telling you guys, like, when you guys came over, like, if I don't have another kid, I'm cool. But I wouldn't mind having one or two more. I'm cool. But yeah. So, Meek, do you want to get married? Because I know you said before on past episodes that you want to have your person. Is your person, you feel like, a husband?
I'm very unorthodox, like, how I live my life. So, like, all, like, if we're talking about the society, like, how society views marriage, no, that's, like, completely out of the window, like, out the door. Like, I don't hold myself to like, those type of norms. I just don't. Like, I think it's stupid. I think people that sit here and...
She said it's stupid.
It is. It's stupid. Like, people that sit here and have this whole thing planned out. This man has said something, and it actually made sense. How do you pick out your dress, pick out your song, pick out the venue, pick out your vows, but don't even know who the man is? Like, right. It's supposed to be a pure right. representation of your thoughts, your feelings, and y'all, the union between you and that man. So you've right. now, like, had this whole thing planned out, and it does not involve the man that you... That's
it
how
doesn't
you
make sense.
The disconnect right there. So
I literally just saw a meme where someone was like, my wedding day is approaching. Where's my husband? Like, yeah. But I'm still single. What? It's like, what?
What?
Because yeah. I think a lot of people had 10/10/20, October 10th, 2020, as like a dream wedding day because of, you know, the sequence of numbers.
That doesn't make sense.
And that's, so they're like, this is a day that I'm going to get married on. I'm just like, oh, okay. Dumb.
That's
you made that up
once again, exactly. Because once again, it has nothing to do with the bond of your person. Like, if me and my person decide that, okay, yeah, you know what, we actually, because you, okay, if I find my person and we actually are like, okay, you know, this, we rocking together and we decide to pursue marriage, it would more be to like to further secure what we're trying to build. If I yeah. go on, if I become impregnated with our child and something happens to me, he can't do nothing about it. You get what I'm saying? Like, things like that. So, like, it would, like, help secure that. But if we were to have a wedding, it's going to involve him. Like, that date is going to be... The date is going to be a special date for us. The song is going to be something that we will sing together.
Some women just want a man to show up and be perfect and give this facade of a perfect marriage. And that's weak.
I do think that's the reason why the divorce rates are so high, because people go in and plan this big party and don't realize that after the party is actual work that has to be applied to like further along, you know, the union. So yeah, it's just crazy, because just like how you said, Elizabeth, when people be like, why don't you want to get married? My answer, my question is, why do you want to get married? Do you even know why you want to get married?
Right.
And even more important, why do you want me to get married so bad? Like, why are you so worried about whether I want to do it or not? I just don't understand. Right. Like, worry about your own relationships and your own, like, whatever marriage does for you in your life, cool. But don't worry about what I got going on over here. Because I could be a really selfish person and thinking, like, me, what I think a wife is may not line up with what men want. So, like, don't worry about whether...
Look, I make it very clear. Like, I love my space. I love, like, having me time. I'm very vocal about that. And I even stated where, like, it was just one of those conversations that just came up. And I was like, yeah, if this is something that we would do, we would need multiple homes. So you would have to have that type of grind so that way we can obtain multiple homes. Like, and I'm serious about that.
What was it? The movie Sex and the City 2. Carrie had her apartment. She kept her apartment, and then they had their house or whatever. Yes, I need a place where I can unwind. Look, we're all Sagittarius, so I think we kind of all have the same like thing where we crave our space. It's something that we need our own time and space. It's not that we don't love our partner. We just need space and time to regroup and rest so we can actually be worth, you know, being around. Because when I'm not, if I need my space
and I haven't gotten a long time,
I turn into a mean person. I am not pleasant to be around. If I'm not getting the rest that I need, if I'm not getting the time alone, and I'm not talking about like just taking a shower by myself.
No.
I need quality like, time with
you
myself.
And your shit out.
You sound like Angela Bassett in Wait to Exhale.
I need you and your shit out. Like, I don't want to look around and be like, no. No, like, I need all of that, like, for sure. But my thing is like I said before, I'm very vocal about that up front. So it's like, you know what the fuck you're signing up for dealing with me. And if that's not something you can get with, hey, you're not my person.
Yeah, adios. What's the worst that can happen?
Which is why long distance works for me.
Yeah. I think that's the best.
I mean, it does have its down, you know.
Yeah.
Down, because it's like sometimes like when life starts getting hard and like you start getting stressed or whatever, it's just nice if like you could just go to your man's house and just cuddle up and then like attack the next day. That's nice every so often. But
it
like,
is. It does help though.
Yeah, no, but the distance, being able to, like, to plan something and be, like, looking forward to it and, like, shit, like, I'll pack certain outfits, and you know what I mean? And it's kind of, like, it kind of keeps it fresh.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't get into that routine of, like,
I'm tired of seeing your face every morning.
Especially with us being moms, because, like, being a mom is 24/7. So being able to go and see your man out of town or whatever, or he comes to you, you can, like, block off time.
True.
For him,
right?
True.
For them, like, so you don't have people calling and like you don't have to go to work and like have to like, you know, sneak off and make a phone call. Hey, I was just thinking about you, like, just to make sure that they are okay with, you know, whatever. Oh God,
true.
I'm just like, when I just think of marriage and relationships, it's just so much work.
It needs to be redefined. I just honestly think it honestly needs to be redefined. Like the standards of marriage is just honestly, it's just what's the word I'm looking for? It's not obtainable. Like, you expect me to love you how we are in love, like this forever. We change like shit. Just even like within our bodies, our cell changes every 7 years. I'm definitely like, even within 7 years, I'm like not only physically not the same person, but mentally I'm not going to be the same person. Or even like that couple who, remember that guy said something about like marriage and
DeVille, is that his
DeVille
name?
That whole thing. I love how open their line of communication was, and what people was taking out of context because they were only playing a certain snippet of that conversation, yeah. Is that when he asked her that question where it was like, you know, when I'm over here and I'm basically saying I'm asking you for sex and you constantly saying I'm tired, like, you know, were you thinking about that when you were pressuring me to marry you? And her answer was, no, I was not. I did not know, nor did I understand what I would go through physically and mentally after some years of marriage, having two kids. That is some real shit. You go through changes. That nasty, freaky, you know, sloppy head, sex-giving girl you had.
She hung her up for a little bit.
Like, it shit changes. And that's the reality of it. And y'all have to be able to pivot with one another. But when you go into it with these unobtainable, like, standards, like, you were shot down before y'all even were able to even walk. So...
yeah.
Oh, good one.
All right. Well, that was a good quote. Do you have another one for us?
Look, I make this 10:25. Don't get shot down before you're able to walk, honey. There you go.
Yeah.
I do. I do have a quote though. I was over here looking at him. I would just say this one. Just keep it real simple. It's about life. If we cannot see the possibility of greatness, how can we dream it? Lee Strasberg. But that also, I can also tie that into what we just talked about. It's hard for people to redefine how they, you know, like relationships and marriages, because they've never seen it before. So like when you and Elizabeth make this strong, secure stance of, I don't want to get married, it shakes people, because that's something that's new. Like, women saying I don't need to be bound to a man to define, you know what I mean, my life, you know, story or whatever. Like, that shakes people, where it's like, well, I don't get that. Like, no, like, you have to be able to see the possibility in order to achieve greatness. So,
amen.
Yes, all right.
All right. Thank you to everyone that has subscribed to us and who has followed us on Twitter and Instagram. You can catch us every Monday on the Bomb Feed and on YouTube on the Count the Dings channel. Thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, take care of yourselves. We out.
Peace.
We out.